And I just simply want to look at Him this morning and exalt Him and lift Him up. Hopefully it'll be a help to somebody in here this morning. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. John said this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I sure am honored to be able to stand again and proclaim your word. God, I thank you for your goodness on me. God, I thank you for this church. Lord, I pray you bless them. God, I thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that He came. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sin. He was buried. He rose again. And God, I pray, Lord, that most of all that you would receive glory and honor through the message this morning. God, I know that I'm unworthy, Lord, to stand and proclaim your word. God, I stand in need of you. God, there's no good in me save the Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that you please, God, would just help me. God, help this church. Lord, I certainly do need you. God, help this to not just be just another Sunday morning service. Lord, I pray you'd help somebody through your word. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for your goodness. All right. When I began to study this epistle, something I've learned throughout just the few years that I've been studying my Bible, something you probably already know, there is always a direct context. Always a direct context. God is not like me. A lot of times I do things for absolutely no reason. A lot of times I'll do something or say something, when I look back at it, I can't find one good reason for why I did that or why I said that. And you're like that too. We're all like that. We do things sometimes. We just don't have any reason for it. But God's not that way. And God did not just one day say to John, "I want you to write an epistle." John had a reason to write. He had a reason to write. And if you're going to study your Bible, if you're going to study one of these little epistles, if you're going to study the Old Testament prophets, they all had a direct reason for writing what they did. Sure, we know that God inspired it. We know that it was the Spirit of God that penned it down through them. But God gave these men a reason to write. And God gave John a reason to write this first epistle. And I don't want to take too long in this. There can be a lot of study just done on this. But I'm sure throughout your years of being in church, you've probably heard of an agnostic. I know you've heard of an atheist. You've probably heard of an agnostic or the Gnostic cult. That cult was rising as John wrote this epistle. And he actually, John wrote this in a defense of the humanity of Jesus Christ. John was defending the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to get into a lot. I've got a lot of notes here on Gnosticism and that cult that was rising here in John's time. But I do want to say one thing about it. It comes from the root word of Gnostic or Gnosticism is gnosis, which means knowledge. Knowledge. They believed that they could attain some form of knowledge and that knowledge alone was enough to get them to a good place with God. Now, we know that there's only one way for a man to be right with God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in a Jesus, but they didn't believe in the same Jesus that you and I believe in. They believed in what's called a lot of times a mystical Jesus or a spiritual Jesus. You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" They did not believe in a human Jesus Christ. They did not believe in a God-man. In a God-man. Now you say, "Brother Jackson, what's the big deal in that?" There's a very big deal in that.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
A very big deal in that.
Yeah.
If Jesus Christ was God only, we would be in trouble.
That's right. Come on.
If Jesus Christ was man only, we would be in trouble. And we'll look at that just a little bit further. So John is writing this epistle in a defense in a defense of the humanity of Christ. What better man to prove Christ's humanity than his closest follower? Now we know that when our Lord was on the earth, He had His disciples, He had the 12, but then He had an inner circle that was Peter, James, and John. Well, always throughout the Gospels, we'll see three men who are separated: Peter, James, and John. But there's a very good case to be made that there was one that was closer even than Peter and James, and that was John. There was one that went further with Christ than any of the others, and that was John. There was only one who did a lot of the things that he did, and that was John. And I'm going to read some of them to you here, and don't turn here. But in John 13:23, the Bible says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved." Now we know what was going on there in John chapter number 13, 13 being the number of rebellion. We know that our Lord had already told the disciples that one was going to betray Him, and they were all in a big scurry, in a big fuss to figure out who it was. As Peter and all of them, as they were arguing with each other, there was only one. He wasn't worried about any of the other disciples. He wasn't worried about anything else. All he was worried about was being close to his Lord. I look at it this way. It's almost like when John was leaning on Jesus' bosom, it's almost like that John didn't even want to be seen. It's almost like John, he just wanted to almost just evaporate and just become one with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that John wouldn't be seen, but that he would be seen. In Him only, that He would have the preeminence. John was not worried about fussing. He wasn't worried about fighting. He just wanted to be close to his Lord. Boy, we got a lot of Baptists that could get a hold of that.
Amen.
Not be too concerned about fussing and fighting and just want to be close to the Lord. John 19:26, what an honor this is when Jesus, our Lord's on the cross here in John chapter 19. In John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw His mother. What an honor this is. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple standing by whom He loved, He saith unto His mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Can you not imagine the scene there at Calvary? When our Lord is there on the cross, He's hanging there, bleeding, bloody, bruised, battered, beaten, dying for the sins of humanity. He looks down at His earthly mother, and He looks down at His closest disciple, and He places His mother in the care of John.
Amen.
There wasn't anybody else who could say they had this honor other than John. Nobody. John 20 and verse 2, "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." So we see that John was one of the first to know of our Lord's resurrection. John 21:7. Peter had no idea that it was the Lord. Remember, they were all out on a ship. Peter was out there fishing. He wasn't properly dressed. They saw somebody walking. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord." He was the first to recognize that was Christ. He was the closest one to Him. I believe that's how he could recognize Him. He probably knew His walk. He knew His mannerisms. He knew more about Him.
Amen.
On earth than anybody else. I tell you, just that right there, just that knowledge, He was the one that laid His head on His bosom. He was the one who took care of His mother. He was one of the first ones to know that our Lord had revived. He had resurrected. And He was the first one there after our Lord rose from the dead, the first one to recognize Him. That alone makes me want to study more of John's writings. That alone gets me excited when I start an epistle like 1 John, just knowing the closeness that this man had to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice this. This is something else that's different about John's writings. Something different about John's writings. Notice verse 1 again, our text. That which was from the beginning. Do you notice what's not there? What's not there? John, the beloved disciple. John, the one who laid his head on the bosom of Christ. John, the man in charge of caring for the Lord's mother. There is no salutation here. John does not give you any of his credentials. John doesn't tell you who he is. In his own gospel, he never says his own name. In John 1, in verse 1, the Bible said, "In the beginning was the Word."
Amen.
Again, John doesn't tell you his credentials. Revelation 1:1. See, the writer gets it wrong. I carry a Schofield Bible, but Schofield gets it wrong. He has there the title of Revelation. He calls it the Revelation of St. John the Divine. But John corrects him in Revelation 1:1 when he says the Revelation of Jesus Christ. John had figured out what so many 21st century Christians have not figured out. You know what John had figured out that it seems like a lot of times in my own life that I haven't figured out? It's that life is not about me.
Amen. Come on.
Bless you, Lord. My life is not about me. I am not the preeminent thing in the eyes of God when it comes to my life. John had already determined that he was going to live his life to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. John had found that out. And John was given all of these blessings. But John never pushed himself to the forefront. John never made it about him. John always made it about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had found out that life is not about him. The first priority, and I know how we think, I know how I think. We are living in the Laodicean times. We're living in the Laodicean church age. We're very rich monetarily. We're rich physically, but we're poor spiritually. Too many times, the Father's first priority is not to make us happy. It's not to make us healthy. It's not to make us rich. Listen, whether you're some king or some poor man on the street, whether you're healthy as an ox, whether your body's ravaged by sickness, whether you're happy in the life that you've been allowed to live, or whether you're absolutely miserable in it, I can find peace in any of those situations. There's times when the bills, it's like they're not even there almost. They're easy to pay. And then there's times where they're not. There's times where I feel fine, and there's times when I don't. There's times when I'm happy, and there's times when I'm not. But through all of that, God's number one priority is to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ through your life. And as Christians, we're not going to be happy until God's first priority becomes our first priority.
Amen.
That was John's priority. He doesn't make it about him. He doesn't make it about his ministry. He doesn't make it about the things he's done or the things he's accomplished. He makes it about Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:14, Peter says this well. If you be reproached for the name of Christ. Does anybody want to be reproached tomorrow? I know I don't. Does anyone want to be persecuted tomorrow? I know I don't. But Peter said this. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, that's the world, on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. That's the Father's first priority, is to bring glory and honor to his Son. Now, let's get into our text real quick. We just have one verse. We'll take just a quick look at it, and then I'll be done. Let's look at that first phrase again. That which was from the beginning. Now, I said in introduction that John is defending the humanity of Christ. As John was fixing to die off, John is an older man here as he's writing this, and John is seeing this cult rise up. He talks about this cult. He talks about them as those that came out from them, but they were not of us, is what John said. This cult that's branching off of Christianity, this cult that does not believe in a human being, Jesus Christ. This cult that that teaches this spiritual Jesus, that teaches that simply a knowledge is enough to attain salvation. What they had done is they had mixed Christianity with paganism. They had mixed Christianity with philosophy, with worldly thought. But as John saw this happening, he wrote this epistle to defend the humanity of Christ. But first, he said that which was from the beginning. John makes it very clear that not only was he human, but that this same man that walked with him was from the beginning. He was from the beginning. Man, and we've already said this, so I'll go quick. I'll go quick right here. But man would have you to believe two scenarios, but never both at the same time. Man would have you to believe two scenarios, but never both at the same time. Here's the first scenario that man would have you to believe, and this is what the atheists teach. Jesus was a man, but not divine. He was a man, he was a good man even, but he wasn't God. The Gnostics teach this. This is the second scenario that man would have you to believe, that Jesus was divine, God, but not a man. But not a man. Why is it, I want to ask you, why is it that this world is convinced with only making Christ either God or man? Why not both? Why not both? Why just man or why just God? Why not both? Well, if he's just man, then he's just another blip on the radar. If he's just man, he's just another Muhammad. If he's just man, he's just another Buddha. If he's just man, he's just another wannabe dead in a casket somewhere. If he's just man. If he's just man, there is no reason for us to be here this morning. If he's man only. There's no reason for us to do what we do if he's man only. But if he's God only, and he's so far out there, he's just God, he is unattainable. He's unattainable. He's so far out there, he cannot relate to you and me. And we can have no relationship with him. If he's man only, he's just a blip on the radar. If he's God only, then he's not relatable. We can't relate to him. We can't pray to him. We can't go to him. But thank God he's both. And the Apostle Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and I'll read that to you now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. Now look at this, verse number 3. Listen to this. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending His own Son. There's divinity. In the likeness of sinful flesh. There's humanity. and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
If our Lord was not both God and man, if He was not the God-man, He could not be the propitiation for our sin. Thank God that He was both. Thank God that He is. Thank God that He's still up there in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. Praise the Lord for that. Now, let's finish out the remainder of this verse, and I'll be done. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Now, remember, John is defending his humanity here. He's defending the humanity of Christ. So what a great thing for John to use human senses to defend the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Notice he used human senses: heard, seen, looked upon, handled, our hands have handled. He used human senses to prove the humanity of our Lord. I just want to look at these one at a time, and then I'm done. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Heard. I want you to think back through the times in the Gospels, what all John had to have heard. Those 3.5 years that our Lord was His ministry on the earth, how many times John heard these things. John heard, I can think of this, John heard as our Lord spoke softly to publicans and sinners. John heard Him as He was merciful there to the woman of Samaria. John heard Him as He spoke judgment on the nation of Israel, as He spoke of the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. John heard as He spoke of Himself in relation to the Father. John 10:30, our Lord said, "I and My Father are one." John heard Him say that. He heard Him say that. Do you know what He also heard? He also heard when He was on the cross and He said, "I thirst." He heard Him when He was hungry. He heard Him when He was thirsty. He heard Him when He was sick. He heard Him when He was in agony on the cross. John heard, he heard the mentions of Him with the Father. He heard Him say, "I and My Father are one." He heard Him in John 14 in verse number 6, "No man can come unto the Father but by Me." He heard those things.
Amen.
He heard both. He heard Him speak of Himself in relation to the Father, and He heard Him speak of Himself when he said, "I thirst." When He would talk about His flesh, when He was in agony, He heard Him. He heard Him. Think about this. John heard as He wept over the death of His friend Lazarus.
Yes, amen.
He heard Him. What John heard proved our Lord's deity. "I and My Father are one. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." What John heard proved His deity. But John also heard the weeping over his friend. John also heard, "I thirst." John heard his humanity as well. What John heard proved His deity and His humanity. Then He goes on, "Which we have seen with our eyes." Which we have seen with our eyes. Think of the things that John saw the 3.5 years that he was here on the earth. John saw, I've got a few things here. John saw when he stooped down to write in the sand to defend the woman caught in adultery. John also saw when he drove out the sellers of doves from his father's house. John saw Him bloody, bruised, beaten, battered on the cross. John saw Him on the Mount of Transfiguration when He was glorified. John saw Him in that glorified state. But John saw Him brought down to the lowest of lows there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he hung there on the cross, there was only one disciple that made it all the way, and it was John. He saw him at his highest moment on earth, there at the Mount of Transfiguration. And he also saw him at his lowest time on the earth, there on the cross, dying for our sin. What John saw proved our Lord's deity and humanity. But then he takes it a step further. He says, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. I believe what John is saying here, what he's trying to drive home, is that what he had heard was not just some faint whisper. What he had heard was not just, he wasn't just walking through the streets of Jerusalem one day and just heard a rumor of a man named Jesus. What he's trying to drive home here is he didn't just see one instance of Jesus Christ while he was on this earth. Day after day after day after day, moment after moment after moment, John spent with this man. And he discovered a pattern. He said, no, I've not just seen it. I've not just heard of him. I've looked upon him. I've watched him. He's never changed. I don't know about you, but that brings comfort to me, because this life changes. We have ups and we have downs. One day we're healthy, one day we're not. One day we're rich, one day we're poor. One day we're at the very top of life, and one day we're at the very bottom. But there is one that never changes. There's one that has, he has never changed. He's never lost. He's never been defeated. He's never turned his back on you. He's never turned his back on me. In our high times, he's there. In our low times, he's there. When the bills are paid, he's there. And when they're not paid, he's there. Amen. When we live in a mansion, he's there. And when we live in a box, he's there. He's the unchanging one. This pattern, John said, and I have not just seen it. I haven't just heard it. He said, I've looked upon him. I've watched him. I've watched him. And I've seen this pattern of life that he has. I've watched him. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. His character was unchanged. It never had the slightest flaw. What he had seen and heard was through years of close fellowship with Christ. You say, I don't know Jesus that well. Maybe it's because you're not close enough to him. You say, preacher, how do I get close to him? How do I get close to him? Is it a feeling I'm supposed to have? Is it some emotion I'm supposed to feel? We live in a church age today the motto of the church age, I'm talking about our independent, fundamental churches. The motto of our churches today should be this: if it feels good, do it. Because that's the way we are in our churches today. If it gives us chill bumps, if it makes the hair stand up on the back of our neck, if it gives us this overwhelming good feeling, it must be spiritual. I'm going to tell you, that is a lie. That is a lie. You want to know how you get close to Jesus? It's not a feeling. It's not the hair standing up on the back of your neck. It's not chill bumps. It is hours alone in the Word of God. It is hours alone in prayer. There's only one way to get close to Christ. There's only one way to have that relationship, that close relationship that John had, and it's not. It's not through the things that we've made it. It's not through a song. It's not through a feeling. It's not through an emotion. Emotions are up and down. Listen, there's days I wake up and I feel saved, and there's days I wake up that I don't. There's days I wake up that I feel spiritual, and there's days I wake up that I don't. There's mornings, there are Sunday mornings that I wake up and I'm excited about preaching, and I hope this don't make anybody mad, but there's also Sunday mornings that I get up and I don't feel like preaching. I don't want to preach. I don't want to do this. But there is an unchanging word,
amen,
that we can grab hold of. John 3:16 is here on our good days. And you know what? On our bad days, John 3:16 is still the same. This word, like the living word, it never changes. Through years of close fellowship, John had determined, he had seen the pattern in the life of our Lord. He said, I've looked upon Him. My hands have handled Him. John had studied our Lord and had found Him to be the unchanging, unflawed, sinless King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Through good days and through bad days, John said He's never changed. He's never changed. Through your good days and your bad days, He's never changed. Listen, friends come and go. Family can come and go. Churches can come and go. Preachers can come and go. But He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad that I know Him. Aren't you? I'm glad I can hold this Word of God and I can learn of Him. I can know more about Him today than I knew yesterday. Let's all stand. Brother Lewis, if you don't mind, won't you come? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand. No real specific need this morning. I just wanted to preach about Christ and hopefully help somebody, refresh someone in their walk. Maybe you have something you need to come pray to this Jesus about. You can. Heads are bowed and eyes closed as Brother Lewis begins to play. Why don't you come pray this morning?